Hi guys, welcome to the show. I'm Caroline Stephen. Great to have you with us. Today we're talking to Louise Bedford on that insidious beast which affects all human beings, procrastination. It's one of Louise's favourite topics, mostly because she has witnessed so many traders doing it. We hear the fundamental reasons why people procrastinate and how we can overcome it from both a physical and psychological perspective. Andrew Woodward is a mentoree who is on track for cracking the markets. And at the midpoint meeting, we hear how he's travelling towards financial serenity and why his reasons for becoming a trader are front of mind. We also have trading trivia today, as well as special report tips. But first up, here's an in-depth look at the news with Chris Tate for the week ending 4th of July.
And now, Market Matters with Chris Tate.
So, Chris, record high for the Dow on Friday.
Yeah, Dow 17,000. The interesting thing is that the performance of the Dow this year has actually been really quite modest. It's really, really, really struggled to hit this mark. And when you compare it to things like the NASDAQ 100, which is up, 9.5%, and the S&P 500, which is up about 6% or so, it just shows you sort of the danger of following a very narrow index to give you a sense of what's happening. It's always intrigued me that people pay such attention to the Dow. And it's the interesting thing about the Dow is that it's effectively the 30 favourite stocks of the editors of the Wall Street Journal. It's not based upon any form of methodology whatsoever other than that. And the intriguing thing is that leaving Apple out as they did meant that they missed out on the push that Apple would have given them because being stodgy old bastards, they couldn't believe that technology stocks are any good. And it's taken them a long time to actually reorient the index to actually reflect what's actually happening in the world. And what's actually happening in the world is that technology is changing. So the take-home message for anybody who's trading the US is you really should be looking at the S&P 500 or even better still, the Russell 2000, which is up 3.5% this year, which is pretty good for an index that is so broadly based.
How much do you think's left in this US rally?
It's a very, very good question. Dow 17,000 was a big thing for them. And I have to admit, I have to sort of state my own self-interest. I'm still long the Dow, still long Dow stocks. So I'm still in there. And the bottom line for me is I'll continue to be in there as long as it continues to go up. The moment it stops going up, I'll reconsider that point of view. But it's one of these things. There's constant talk about, is the US market a bubble? My reading of that is that the only bubble we have is people talking about bubbles. So the interesting thing about, particularly looking at the volume on the Dow, is that volume in the US has actually been quite modest and it is not of the same ilk as pre the GFC. So there's still not this widespread support. The man in the street is still not talking about stocks. And the intriguing thing is that ratings of business shows in the US are actually falling. The reason I would ascribe to that is not that people are getting any smarter as a group, because it's impossible for people to get smarter as a group. You really just have to look at the rise in reality TV, such as, Celebrity Bomb Disposal and Backyards for Bogans. So people aren't getting smarter. I think what there is just a lack of interest. People really couldn't give a rat's ass about the market. It's only among our circles that people talk about it.
All right, so what about the Australian market? It was a good flow-on effect and we started the financial year on a bit of a high.
It was actually. I was quite surprised because normally fund managers, being the honest, upstanding individuals they are, try and give the market a little bit of a pump towards the end of the year so that they don't look completely incompetent. They just look marginally incompetent and the sort of people who really couldn't run a hot bath. And you wouldn't give them a dollar to organise your sock drawer because they'd screw that up as well. But I have to admit the local market has started to get my interest. A move beyond 5,500 and then 5,600 actually gets my interest. It causes me to go, it's probably time to start paying attention to domestic stocks, because it means that we're out of that churn that we've been in post the GFC. We're out of that awful, gluggy market where we go up a bit, go down a bit, go up a bit, go down a bit, and we're actually starting to get some interest in markets as we go along. So
what instruments are looking good?
That's actually positive for me. I'm actually this week looking at starting to go long domestic stocks. I suppose I should mention the traditional idiot magnet of gold, which is still not going anywhere. The intriguing thing is, over the past month, has been that neither gold nor crude have responded to tensions in the Middle East. And I could ascribe only probably two reasons for this. One is that, particularly with crude, there's a lessening of reliance on Middle East oil among Western countries. The other is that we've simply accepted the default state that the Middle East will be a continuing soap opera of which turban-wearing idiot is in charge this week. I think we've sort of accepted that. And once you accept that, things settle down. So they're not getting my attention. I'm intrigued by the continuing churn in major currencies, the fact that they're just going sideways. That intrigues me. Mm-hmm. Although what has piqued my interest is I'm looking at the Aussie pound, particularly a move below 54.50. That'll trigger me in short. Also, the US-Canadian dollar, which continues to head down. That's an intriguing relationship those two have. It's a little bit like us and the Kiwis, but reversed, in that it would be as if the Kiwi dollar was worth more than ours. So that's interesting me, but only from the point of view that if something else happens, I'll do something. It's really quite dull. I've got a lot of landmarks in the market which will tell me to do something, but nothing's happening as of yet, other than local stocks, which interest me.
Are there any patterns jumping out from the charts at the moment?
Not a lot. Again, I say in the local market, 5,500, 5,600 really gets my interest. And the thing I've noticed is there are more local stocks appearing in my equity-based scans. So that tells me that there's more and more support for the local market appearing. And it's intriguing that this support has carried on into the new year, because, as I said, fund managers generally try and give the market a little bit of a pump before the end of the year, and then it dies off. But it seems as if a new natural trend has asserted itself.
So we're over the wreckage of the GFC.
I think we might be moving beyond that awful, dull sort of slack water period we've been in. If it can just keep going, then I'll be immensely impressed and much more interested.
Any advice for traders this week?
Once again, simply pay attention to what's going on. We've had this conversation on the mentor program at present. It's really a matter of stepping back and looking at the big picture. The problem with most traders is they're like two-year-olds watching TV. They jam their face right up against the screen and they can't see a thing. You need to take a step back. Dow 17,000 is very interesting. The strength in the broader US market is compelling. It's really hard to go past that. And the emerging strength in our market is also compelling and very, very interesting for the first time in five friggin' years.
Chris Tate, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Louise Bedford here. Want to gain a glimpse into the depraved, genius-like brain of Chris Tate? You need to register on the blog tab of tradinggain.com.au. Chris's blog is jam-packed with witty observations about the markets that you can use to trade like a machine.
And last week's trading trivia question was, where was the oldest stock exchange in the world? And the answer is Amsterdam. The Amsterdam Stock Exchange was established in 1602 by the Dutch East India Company for its dealings in printed stocks and bonds, and it was subsequently renamed the Amsterdam Bourse and was the first to formally begin trading in securities. And this week's trivia question is, which of the following jobs did Warren Buffett have when he was young? Was it A, stealing golf balls? B, a newspaper delivery boy? C, running a pinball machine business? Or D, all of the above? Find out the answer next week. Want to maximise your God-given potential and get off the couch? Well, Procrastination is one of Louise Bedford's favourite topics, largely because she has witnessed so many traders doing it. And she joins us now to discuss the nasty beast of procrastination and how to get over it. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Caroline.
So what are some of the things that traders procrastinate about?
Wow, the list is long and distinguished. Getting started, writing a trading plan, taking a stop, talking to their accountant, setting up the right structure. Do you know one of the difficulties is that this is such a detailed area and it's so easy to forget something and to go, well, it's all too hard. So I think the first thing that people should really do is to write a list of all of the things that they need to be able to be a proficient trader and to look after their own business very carefully.
Why do traders procrastinate?
Fear. Often it's a fear of failure and it can be fear of success as well. There's three main fears. There's FOF, FOP and FOSS. So fear of failure, fear of success and fear of people. Now, if you can look back through your life and analyse your own fears and work out which one of those three camps did your fear fall into, that can really, really help. I can tell you right now, though, the traders coming into our mentor program, fear of failure is a huge one. Fear of letting down the people that they love, fear of not doing this well and feeling that their own sense of identity has to diminish instead of expand. All of that can make you not think clearly.
So how can traders overcome that?
From a neurological perspective, it's good to know what's going on in your brain as well with this. Often what happens with fear is we are directed to fight or flight. So we are wanting to either run the heck of away from something or to conquer it. And higher brain functioning turns off. So that's why sometimes when you're under fear, you can't think. You might have even been under stress and said, oh, I just can't think of the right solution. It's because of that adrenaline dump, that fight and flight response. So some of the things that you can do to overcome that, deep breathing. Everybody take a deep breath right now. We forget to check our body for areas of tension. When we're trading, often you'll see a trader trading and they'll have a hunched up back and shoulders right up next to their ears. They'll be at a peculiar angle with a curve on their back instead of sitting up straight with their feet flat on the floor and being calm and being one with the screen. Before I start trading, one of the things that I do is I always take a deep breath and I always adjust my position so that I'm comfortable and ergonomically I'm in the right place. One of the guests that you're going to interview at one stage, Caroline, you're going to absolutely love what she has to say about setting yourself up ergonomically, and that is something to listen for when you have a future episode that we're going to generate there. I think there's a lot of things that we can do if you look back into your own life and find the things that have worked for you in the past as well.
So what are some things that people can do to get off the couch?
A big one is to become answerable. And in fact, one of the things that we're doing with our mentor program, Caroline, that I know you're intimately involved with, we've actually decided to start a longitudinal study of people in the mentor program that want to be answerable every 3 months for the goals they set themselves for those 3 months. So I'm really excited about this. I think it'll be a terrific way to keep people accountable to you for their actions and the things that they said they'd set out to do.
Who else can traders be accountable to?
Yeah, to another trading buddy is good, to their spouse. Even if they set something in Google Calendar, if they're looking to have progress towards a particular goal, by this date I must have done this, by this date I must have done that. I'm actually personally answerable to my accountant, Jason Cunningham. He's a really good, unreasonable friend for me. He makes sure that I do what I say that I'm going to do, and he diarises it and he checks up on me. So if you can develop an unreasonable friendship with somebody, that can really help.
Any other advice?
If you're scared about trading, if you feel it in your gut, those butterflies flying around, just remember that every great trader has felt that way. Every single trader has been through what you're going through, and it's up to you to be able to find ways to overcome it, because if one person can achieve, then you can too. Self-belief is so important. So until you're ready to make that complete leap into full-time trading, just believe as far as you can see. If you believe that you can set up the structure from an accounting perspective, make that your goal for next week. Break down those big goals into tiny little chunks. Get each one to be within your realm to be able to believe in it and achieve that. And that'll get you off the couch. The big goal is too scary to achieve.
Thanks, Louise.
I'm Dr. Harry Stanton. I'm the author of Let the Trade Winds Flow, and I listen to Talking Trading.
And now here are some tips from my special report, 50 Trading Tips to Fuel Your Profits. Number one, fear is a mind killer, from Frank Herbert's book, June.
I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer.
Number two, cut your expenses. Do you really need that new outfit, that car, that new house? Wrestle back control over your personal finances. Number three, success will never happen fast enough for you. You'll need to resist the urge to slap people when they call you an overnight success. And to download my free special report, 50 Trading Tips to Fuel Your Profits, go to talkingtrading.com.au. And last but not least, the final member of our longitudinal study, Andrew Woodward, or Woody as is known to his mates, tells us how he's going on his journey towards financial freedom at the Midpoint Mentor Meeting. Talking to Andrew Woodward. Andrew, what were your objectives over the past 3 months in the mentor program, and have you achieved them?
The first objective was to get a trading plan started and developed, which is ongoing, but it's happened, and working closely with each week's material to make sure that I'm updating relevant questions and have that in place. The other one is to keep active. So I've been making sure that things like, say, the morning journal is something that I do every day, and I see that as being the way that will keep me in tune with what I have to do on a daily basis to achieve the overall objective, which is financial serenity.
What are your goals and objectives over the next 3 months of the program?
Really want to get into refining my entry and set up signals so that I know what trades to be entering, and then really get into actually doing the trading.
Your big why for becoming a trader, is it stronger than ever?
I think the morning journal has made it more front of mind and something that I think about every day. So probably, yeah, it is bigger than ever. And seeing the benefits that can be achieved from trading is certainly made it something that is front of mind, and, you know, it's a burning passion.
Refresh our memories. What is your burning passion for becoming a trader?
It was to have choices, and financial serenity was one of those, or security is one, obviously the major overriding goal, but to give myself and my wife and two kids choices in life. So from whatever trading gives, it'll enable, open doors and open up opportunities for all of us to make choices in life that maybe at the moment we don't necessarily have.
And you've done a lot of other trading courses. How does the mentor program compare?
I think the difference with the mentor program is that it actually gives you an outcome. You know, it gives you the scans, it gives you a trading plan, or forces you to create a trading plan. I think a lot of the other courses tell you lots and lots about triggers and lots about setups and lots about red and green candles, but they don't necessarily tell you or teach you how to put that into practice. So you can identify a setup, you know, from probably any course that you go to, then what you do with that is not there. And I think the mentor program puts it all into a package that by the end of it, you're a trader. You've just got to make it happen.
How are you finding Chris and Louise?
I love the way that Chris is straight to the point. I love the way that Chris treats you like, and Louise treats you like part of the family. That balances out, you know, the demands of the program, and obviously the learning styles. You can be attracted to both of them, and get something from each.
Andrew Woodward, I really think you're going to crack it. Good luck with your trading.
Thank you.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. I'd like to thank our contributors, Lady Louise Bedford, Chris Tate and Andrew Woodward. Stay tuned next week for Alan Furlong and the Science of Human Flourishing. A fabulous man with a lot of energy and wisdom to share. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time. Happy trading.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.